For the past few weeks, we've been engaged in a series on the way to the cross. And this morning, we come to the cross and consider reality at the cross. The passage which we will begin with is in Matthew 27 and verse 45. If you have your Bible, please turn to that as we study together. With a special greeting to those who are worshiping with us in your home as you listen to the tape. Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, we come in prayer this morning to seek the teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit as we seek to understand the cross, the death of our Lord Jesus Christ. We depend upon the Holy Spirit to teach us the truth this morning. For we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Now in Matthew chapter 27, verse 45, the situation is this. The Lord Jesus Christ is now on the cross with the two thieves or robbers or criminals, one on each side. And in verse 45, we read this strange event. Now from the sixth hour until the ninth hour, there was darkness over all the land. That is from noon to 3 o'clock. 3 hours of darkness. We really need to understand what was taking place during those 3 hours. It's almost too sacred to get into. It's like delving into the privacy of our Lord. And yet it is essential and vital that we understand what was taking place during those 3 hours. Now, the hours of darkness. This was miraculous. From noon until 3 o'clock, there was darkness over all the land. The darkness came at the exact day, the exact hours, when God had planned from all eternity. It was miraculous. What was the meaning? The meaning of the darkness was that it was symbolic of that which Christ would experience during those 3 hours. So we must ask the question, as Jesus hung on that cross in crucifixion, and there are 3 hours here unaccounted for, but something is happening, and we must delve into that. This grabs our attention. This demands our study. It requires our meditation and our prayer. What was our Savior's experience during those 3 hours? Now, I think it's safe to say that during those 3 hours that he was doing his saving work for us, his redeeming work. Of course, throughout all of his life, from his birth to this point, all that he said and did was a part of that. But now we come to the very climax of Christ being the Savior of God's elect. So we ask the question, what was the Savior's experience during those 3 hours? Now this text does not tell us. All it says that is there was darkness over the land. Then about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out about being forsaken. Then we learn that he yielded up his spirit. And that he said, it is finished. So So something crucial was happening at that time for him to say, "It is finished." So a significant passage we must look at is 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 20, which sheds light on what was happening in those 3 hours. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20, we read this. "Therefore we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God," that is, God the Father. Verse 21, "For he," God the Father, "made him," Jesus Christ, "who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." Now there's the heart of what was taking place during those 3 hours. He was being made sin by God the Father for us. He is being the Savior. He is experiencing the guilt of sin. He who knew no sin, perfectly honest in thought and deed throughout his lifetime, was now there in the experience of being made sin for us. Now, we can't fully understand that because we are already contaminated with sin. But we can think about it to this extent of what it must have been like for the innocent to be falsely accused and falsely victimized for our sin. He was being made sin for me. He was being made sin for you. That's what was happening in those 3 hours. He was fulfilling the penalty for sin. God's holy justice must punish sin. It cannot go on and on without God dealing with it. So in order to save those whom he had chosen, he paid the penalty for them. He was fulfilling the penalty for sin. He was experiencing the wrath of God, which you and I deserve. And so this was a part of the Savior's experience in those 3 hours. Now we learn from this text that Jesus cried out, "Why have you forsaken me?" That is a cry to God the Father. It was because he was experiencing separation from the Father, the sense of being abandoned or forsaken or deserted. Experiencing that is like the experience of hell. Hell is being separated from God. And our Lord Jesus Christ had that experience, not being in the physical place of hell, but experiencing that spiritually in relationship to the Father. And therefore, this cry. So this is what is taking place. He is being made sin. He is fulfilling and satisfying justice for us so that we might be justified before God. What a matter to think about and delve into the sacredness of these 3 hours on the cross, from noon to 3 o'clock, darkness over the land, because of what the Savior was suffering for you and for me. Now, this took place, but we must now turn to what was occurring at the end of those 3 hours, where we have words of victory. In John 19, chapter 30, John writes that Jesus said, "It is finished." One word. And then Luke records that Jesus said, "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." And in Matthew we read, "He yielded up his spirit." It is finished. One word, which means to make perfect. A perfect salvation. It means to complete. Mission fulfilled. What he came to do in human flesh, he did in those 3 hours on the cross. He accomplished his mission to be the Savior. It is finished. That is, it is brought to an end, to a closure, to bring to a close. It is finished. Well, it is a pronoun, so we must consider what it is. It is the sacrifice for sin. The sacrifice for sin is finished, is how we should read it. It means termination. The payment and penalty for sin has been paid for God's elect forever. It is over. Finished, terminated, made perfect, complete, victorious. Our Lord said, "It is finished." It means that there's nothing lacking in the sacrifice of Christ for sin. It fully satisfies the holiness and justice of God. It is sufficient. It is adequate. It is enough. Jesus was saying, "What was given to me to do is now finished. My suffering is over. I have made an offering to the justice of God the Father. My suffering is over. Never again will he suffer. Never, ever again will anyone spit on him, kick him, beat him, ridicule him. Never again." On the cross for 3 hours. During that time, he became our Savior and saved us from our sin. It is over. Now, we need to speak of a danger that could take place sometimes in our heart, or certainly happening in religion and other ways. The danger is this: of making any other sacrifice or any attempts to add to the atonement is utter blasphemy. That is dangerous. Now, in some church services today, every Sunday, an attempt is made to offer a sacrifice, and that is not acceptable. We need to be very, very careful here. Some people are offering their good works or human goodness to replace his sacrifice. That is blasphemy. And what we desperately need to learn from this is that there is no substitute, no replacement for his sacrifice for sin. There is no more sacrifice. It is finished. No animal needs to be presented. No gift can be given to God to replace the gift of his sacrifice. It is finished. It is over. And for us to doubt that is an insult to God the Father, to God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We must not question the adequacy or the sufficiency of his sacrifice to pay the penalty for our sin, past, present, future. It is done, nothing lacking. In the 3 hours, Jesus died on the cross, paying the penalty. At the end of the 3 hours, he said, "It is finished." And then one other event here on the cross is his voluntary dying. In Matthew 27:50, we learn that he cried with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. A voluntary death. No one took his life from him. Not the wounds, not the beating, not the loss of blood, not anything, but the giving up of his life. And after the resurrection, Paul writes that he is now highly exalted. He is now in heaven as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's ruling the world. He is ruling over the war in Iraq this morning. And it will be used to fulfill his eternal purpose. He is exalted by God. Our prayer is that he would be exalted in our hearts. And at this time of the year, as we think of the cross, we will bow and worship because he is the only acceptable atonement. Seek no other. Attempt nothing else to save us from our sin. Let's bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the record of this darkness, which leads us to explore the meaning of it and what actually occurred in those 3 hours. Thank you for such a perfect salvation through the death of Christ on our behalf. We worship you. We are grateful people. We present ourselves to you for service. In Jesus' name, amen.